your sound today. Come on, all three of you. Anybody else want to change your sound today? We are in a third part today of a series we started a few weeks ago on change your sound. How many know when you change your sound, you change your life? Change your sound, change your environment, change your life. We're changing what we're allowing to come into our ears, and we're saying, God, give us a fresh sound, changing what's coming out of our mouth, and we are saying, God, change us from the inside out. You know, today I want to talk to you about the sound of my praise. The sound of my praise. Today, I want to tell you that in my 20 plus years of doing ministry, I've seen more churches fight, divide, split over praise and worship than anything else. Isn't that sad? Isn't that a sad thing? You know, people come in and sometimes they want to change up styles of worship, styles of music, and then people start fighting over it. I don't like it. Let's go back to the way it used to be, or I don't like it this way or that way. You know, and division comes in. Have you ever wondered why that's so high in churches? Have you ever thought about that? And today I want to tell you that the root of that division really comes from the heart of who Satan is. Because the Bible teaches us that before Satan was kicked out of heaven, that he was the chief worship director of heaven. It says that all worship came out of him, all sounds came out of him, all music came out of him. I mean, any sound of music he could produce, choir sounds. I mean, can you imagine? He's like, just the choir sound came out of him. And he would lead the heaven's angels in the praises to God. And as he was doing that, he would say, well, you know, they're not worshiping Jesus. They're not worshiping the Father, the Son. They're worshiping me. And he let pride begin to come in. And he became prideful of what he was producing. And so as the pride settled in, he said, no, they're worshiping me. They're worshiping me. It says that he was kicked out of heaven, and a third of the angels who followed him, they were kicked out of heaven. And now the Bible says that you and I were created to worship the Father. You and I were created to bring worship. We were created to be a lifestyle of worship. We were created to worship our Creator. And every time we step up and begin to worship, every time we step up, begin to praise, Satan doesn't like it. Because it reminds him of what he lost. It reminds him that he was kicked out of heaven. It reminds him that you and I are now taking our spiritual authority. We're now stepping into our heavenly role and bringing forth the praise. And this reminds Satan. So he's going to do everything he can to attack the church when it comes to our praise and our worship. He's going to do everything he can to divide us on praise and worship. So we have got to guard our hearts against this. You know, we see this, and even the first family fight had to do over worship. Think about this. The first family fight had to do over worship. Let's go to Genesis chapter 4. We see the story of Cain and Abel, the brothers who were the sons of Adam and Eve. Let's pick it up in verses 2 through 8. Now Abel kept the flocks, and Cain worked the soil. So Abel was the shepherd. Cain was working as producing the harvest, the fruit of the land. In the course of time, Cain brought some. Look what Cain brought what? Say some of. This is important to remember. Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. Abel also brought an offering, but his was the fat portions. Come on now. We're talking about, this translates out, the good portion, okay? He brought back a healthy portion from some of the firstborn of his flock. Notice the difference. We see here that Cain brings some of the fruits. Abel brings the best and the first. The Lord looked at favor with Abel and his offering, but Cain, his offering did not look with favor. God didn't look with favor upon it. So Cain was very angry. His face was very downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you so angry? Why is your face downcast?" Let's be honest. When we're worshiping the Lord, the worship really reveals a lot about our attitude, doesn't it? We can find a lot about our attitude when we come into worship. Well, I don't feel that, bless God. I'm here. Why are they always standing? I'm tired of standing there in worship. Oh my God, we can stand one more song. You know, we're having a bad week and we don't care. And worship just kind of shows it to us, doesn't it? We're like, you know, I don't want to be doing this. And this is kind of what's happening here. He sees that his worship is not being accepted. He gets angry. God calls him out. Hey, Cain, why are you angry? Then he said, look at your face, man. Your face is downcast. If you do what's right, look what he says. You will not be accepted if you don't do what's right. But if you don't do what is right, sin is waiting there at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it. Everybody say rule over it. See, listen, we are covered under grace. Isn't it an awesome thing? But we are covered under grace for our sin and mercy. But just because we're covered under grace doesn't mean we have to let sin rule over our life. You don't have to let sin dominate your life. Even though you're under God's grace and his mercy, you can also don't let it have control over you. Don't let sin control you. How? Bring a right offering. See, right offering keeps my attitude in check. It keeps me in a healthy place. Now Cain said to his brother Abel, let's go out to the field. While they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. So we see this happening here. Worship reveals our mood. Remember last week we talked about Leah's mood. Remember? She named her four boys. The first three boys were named Simeon, Reuben, and Levi. Hear me. See me. Join me. Remember Leah was the wife, and she was married to a man who didn't love her. Married to him. She was forced and tricked into a marriage when her husband really wanted to marry her sister. And so she's stuck in this marriage with a man who doesn't love her, her frustration's showing. And so she names her kids after what she's really feeling. See me, notice me, hear me, join me. And we see all these things happening. But finally, she changes, as we talked about last week, she changes her last born son was named Judah, which means praise. And so she goes from downcast, she goes from feeling sorry for herself, to finally she's just like, I don't care. I'm just going to praise God anyway. I'm going to let a praise come out. I'm going to let a Judah praise come out of my mouth. You see, when we rejoice over God, he rejoices over us. When I rejoice over God, he rejoices over us. The Bible tells us that he rejoices over his children. He sings songs and shouts of joys over us. How many have teenagers today? Raise your hand if you have teenagers. Okay. Do you remember when that teenager was just a small toddler? And you would be having a bad day, and you would come home, and maybe you had 1,000 things on your mind, and you walk through the door, and all of a sudden, Mommy! Daddy! And they run up, and they grab a hold of your leg. And they grab a hold of you, and no matter how bad your day was, man, they were just there with this unconditional love and smiles and attention. And they just like rejoiced. I mean, you could have been the most rotten dog all day long. You could have been mean to everybody else. And you walk in the door, and your kids are like, ah, I just want to love you. It just changes your heart, doesn't it? It just melted your heart. And then when they become teenagers, they're like, hey, hey, Dad. Now, the dog is the only one I can get excited about when I come home. She wags her tail. She's excited. You know, that's about it. The dog, we get it from the dog. Kids are like, hey, Dad, that's about it, you know. But there's something that happens, isn't it? There's something in the heart that happens when they rejoice over us. And see, we're made in the image of God. Now listen, we don't have to earn God's love. Are you thankful for that today? He'll never love me any more than he does right now, and he'll never love me any less than he does right now. God's love is unconditional in my life. And so I'm not trying to earn his love, but there's something that happens when I rejoice, when I praise, and I worship the Lord. There's something that happens in the heart of the Father that he takes notice even more, that he begins to worship over me, and he shouts joys of praise over my life. There's something that happens, and I've got to realize this, that my sound has got to change if I want my environment to change. Something's got to change. How much more does God rejoice over us? We see sin enters the world in Genesis chapter 3, and then murder happens in Genesis chapter 4. Have you ever thought that we don't have to teach our kids to do wrong? They can do that pretty naturally. We got to learn to teach our kids to do what's right, correct? We have to teach them to do the right thing. We got to motivate ourselves. See, Cain tried to do it his way. Let me ask you this. Will you praise God his way or your way? You're getting awful quiet on me this morning. Will you praise God his way or your way? Because this is really where the trouble lied. This is really where the trouble lied. One brother wanted to praise God his way. Cain wanted to do it his way. I got busy, got this and that. I just kind of bring the leftover. Here's the one that we can't consume. We'll bring it to God. We'll give God our leftovers. And one brought the fat portion. One brought the best portion. And one put trust in the Lord. And God rejected one. God received another. See, there's something that happens when you learn to praise God his way. There's something that happens when you learn to praise God his way. It's a statement here that we've made several times over the years of Destiny Church is this. Are we bringing God our best? Are we bringing God our first? Am I praising God with the best praise? Am I giving him the best? I should be giving him the best and the first. I should be giving him the first of my offerings, the first of my tithe and offering, the first of my attitude, the first of my week, the first Wednesday of the month. I should be giving God the first as often as possible. I should be giving God the first as much as possible. Why? Because that's the way God wants it. God expects me to give him my best. God wants me to give him my best. We come as we are, but we give God our best. And as we do that, it unlocks something in our life. We see this principle, you know, in Paul and Silas's life. We referred to it in the last few weeks that when Paul and Silas are in prison, remember this, man, I'm sure Paul's thinking, man, not again. Not again. I'm tired of being locked up. God, I'm trying to do your work. God, I'm trying to do your will. I'm trying to plant churches. I'm trying to uplift the name of Jesus. And I keep getting flogged. I keep getting beat. I keep getting chained up and put in prison. But at some point, while he's chained up, while he's in prison, it says during the midnight hour, they begin to change their sound. They begin to change their sound. They let a praise come out of their mouth. They let a praise come from their heart. And as they begin to sing that praise, it says that their chains begin to fall off. It says the prison doors became open right away. It's like, man, and they walked out of there free. Now today, I want you to know there's something that happens when you change your sound. There's something that happens in freedom. Can I get all my section leaders just to stand up a second? If you're a section leader, can you stand up? Also, if you're a DC group leader, can you stand up? If you lead a DC small group, can you all stand up as well? Help me out this morning. Thank you. Yeah. All right. As an example, can you guys stand up and give me a raise your hands just for a second as an example? Raise your hands a second. Raise both hands. There you go. See, there's something that happens when I worship the Lord. There's something that happens when I worship the Lord. See, when I worship the Lord, there's something that happens. Not only freedom for me, but also freedom for those around me. Those around me are seeing people getting free, and that spirit begins to become contagious, and it pours over to the people around you. And even though I'm having a bad week, and even though I don't feel like praising the Lord, I see Nancy, she's praising the Lord. I know she had a tough week, but she's praising God in spite of it. She's not letting anything steal her praise. She's free in the spirit. I want to raise my hands too. I want to lift my voice too. See, when I praise the Lord, you guys can be seated. When I praise the Lord, look at this. When I praise the Lord, not only does it free me, but it also helps set other people free. I set others free. When I praise the Lord, not only does it free me, but it also frees others around me. When Paul and Silas walked out of that prison, they didn't go out of that prison alone. It says that all the prisoners, their chains fell off. All the prisoners walked through. They all escaped out through the prison walls where the gates came open. See, my praise doesn't just affect me. My praise affects those close to me. My praise affects those close to me. That's why when we come in today, I've got to learn to say, God, I'm going to fight through anything I'm going through in my life. I've got to learn to praise you no matter what, because not only does it set me free, but it sets those around me free as well. It helps created the atmosphere of freedom. Today, I want to bring that freedom to others. I want to bring it to my life. It's important. We bring a spirit of freedom with us every week to church. See, church doesn't become holy until praise and worship is released. Otherwise, it's just a building. Until we release the praise and the worship, it doesn't become holy. I know that I may ruffle some feathers here today. You may think, oh, it's a holy place. Yeah, it's holy when we release the praise and we release the worship. Then it becomes holy. Why? Because until we release the praise and the worship, God's presence isn't here. That's what it says in the Bible. It says, when we talked about last week, he says, Judah is what? Judah is my sanctuary. He goes, Israel's my domain. But Judah is my sanctuary. It means this, that all believers belong to him. All those who believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, all those who believe in the Bible as the foundation, they all belong to God. But God says, I will dwell in the praise, in the Judah. He goes, I dwell in the praise. I dwell in the praise. I dwell in the praise. My presence is evident in the praise. My glory increases in the praise. There's something that happens when we change our sound to a sound of praise that invites the Holy Spirit to come, that allows the anointing to flow in our life. It increases. When the sound changes, something changes in the spirit realm. It's what happens. We got to change our sound. We got to allow it to happen. Cain's offering was rejected by God. Why? Because he did it his way. Abel's offering was accepted by God because he did it out of obedience. Are you seeing us here today? We've got to learn to say, God, I'm just going to worship you when I feel like it. I'm just going to give what I have left over. I'm just going to do this and that. I'll give you one Sunday a month. I'm too busy the rest of the Sundays. I'm just going to kind of give you my leftovers. And we wonder why we're dragging. We're wondering why we're not walking with a full tank. I'm telling you, you got to make sure the first day of the week is set aside to come together with people. Why? Because I've got to bring the praise. I've got to bring it. I've got to change the sound. I've got to bring it as much as possible. Guard your home. Guard your family. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord together. Man, enjoy your vacation. Enjoy your times away. Have fun. But listen, you got to guard it. Don't let it dominate you. Come back and say, no, we got to stay plugged in. We got to stay plugged in. Why? Because I got to give God the first. The first part of my week goes to the Lord. The first part of my heart goes to the Lord. The first part of my thoughts go to the Lord. The first part of my offering goes to the Lord. Am I giving God my first or am I giving God my leftovers? Let me ask you this. How long did you prepare for today's worship service? How long did you prepare for it? Did you just crawl out of bed and barely make it here? Come on, I've been there before. Yeah. See, but did you start to change your heart even last night before you went to bed? God, I can't wait to worship. God, I can't wait to put my mind upon you to come together with other believers and worship. I used to teach our staff, when a lot of us had young kids, I would encourage them, listen, hey, on a Saturday night, you got to find everybody's outfit Saturday night and get it ready. Come on now. How many know you can never find a matching shoe on Sunday morning? You'll never find matching socks on Sunday morning. Nothing will be ironed on Sunday morning. Nothing's clean on Sunday morning. And so you got to, Saturday night, I start preparing, so there is no way. There's no way that nothing hits me. I just don't run out of something on Saturday night that I'm going to need Sunday morning. I'm going to find everything I need so when I get up, man, I can just take my kids and throw them right into the clothes and get to the car. We're going, man. We're going to the house of the Lord. Why? Because I don't want anything. Listen, you don't have this problem any other day of the week, but Sunday morning is like everything goes wrong, doesn't it? I mean, everything goes wrong. If something's going to go wrong, it'll happen on Sunday morning. Why is that? Because Satan knows that if he can get you to miss out, that he's stealing your praise. He's stealing your freedom. He's stealing what God wants to do in your life. So you got to prepare yourself. Prepare yourself ahead of time. God, I'm preparing to be in your presence. God, I'm ready to be in your presence. We are to give God what? A sacrifice of praise. Come on, say sacrifice. The Bible says we bring a sacrifice of praise. We should be ready. We should be sacrificing our time, sacrificing our thoughts, sacrificing everything we have to prepare ourselves. Now, you just don't go to prom and say, "Ah, boy, today's prom. I guess I'll go and find something in my closet to wear. OMG, I don't have nothing to wear. Okay." No, ladies, you've been thinking that thing out for months in advance. You planned out your hair and your makeup months in advance. You picked out your outfit months in advance. You pick out where you're going to eat months in advance. I mean, you got this whole thing ready. We just don't show up on our wedding day. We're like, okay, let's get married today. No, you've been working a year on that wedding. Come on, you bridezillas. I know who I'm talking to today. Don't act like you know. Don't. That's not me. No, you are a bridezilla and we know it. You've been working on this thing for years. Why do we just get up and just nonchalantly say, "Nah, man, I'm going to come to the presence of the Lord"? No, I want to get up and say, I want to think things through. I'm preparing my heart now. I'm preparing my heart for worship now. I'm preparing my mind for worship now. I'm preparing my spirit for worship now. God, I can't wait to be more in your presence. God, I can't wait to be free in your presence. God, I can't wait to encourage somebody in your presence. God, I can't wait to bring my first praise. I can't wait to bring my first offering. God, I can't wait. We should be sacrificing, preparing. It's a big deal. It's a big deal in our life. God judges our worship. Today, some of you here are like, "Pastor, I'm just not a very expressive person." Really. I'm not an expressive person at all. It's okay to get excited. It's all right. For some of you people, some of you young people, you can get excited, but I'm not a very expressive person. Well, tomorrow when you go to the mailbox and you get a letter from the government, and the government says, "Sir or ma'am, we have made a mistake. We realize for years you've been overpaying your taxes. We've been charging you way too much. And so to make up for it, we decided we're going to pay off your house. We're going to pay off your cars. We're going to pay off your credit card. You will now have zero debt left to your name." How many think you would get a little bit excited about a letter like that? You get excited about it. Why? Because your debt had been canceled, right? But let me tell you today, our debt has been canceled. And if God never does another thing for me, he paid the debt I could not pay. He paid the debt that I owed, and only the Son Jesus' blood paid it for me. And if he never does another thing for me, I can stand in the sanctuary and give him praise. I can stand in my difficult season and give him praise. I can stand in the middle of the street and give him praise. I can stand in the middle of my garage and give him praise. Why? Because my debt has been canceled. Come on, give God a hand clap for that this morning. It's all about perspective. It's all about perspective. Well, Pastor, I just like to praise God in my mind. Let me tell you, there is a time to praise God in your mind. The Bible talks about meditating on the Lord, meditating on the things of God, renewing our mind, refreshing our mind. Nothing wrong with that. But the Bible says there should be a shout of praise. There should be a sound of praise. It says there should be a shout of joy. It says there should be instruments playing. There should be loud sounds of the cymbals. He said we should let everything that has breath praise the Lord. It's the shout of praise that God is wanting to get from us. Get out of us. That's just not my nature, Pastor. Just not my nature. Yeah, until your grandkids go to play football. And then all of a sudden, your grandma, I know it's not in your nature, and I don't have it anymore, but your grandbaby play. And you're out there, whoa! I see grandmas, I can't get up to stand. This is a true story. I saw a grandma the other day. They were helping her up the stairs, and she was barely getting up the stairs. They sit her down in like the third row. She was sitting right in front of me. And she was just quiet the whole game. And then her grandson made a big play at the very end of the game. And she came up. It was a miracle. I'm telling you, those bones came alive. Snap, crackle, pop. Bam. Oh! Oh! The question is not will we, it's just what really pushes our buttons, right? And see, when your perspective changes and you realize, no, he paid the debt. He paid my debt. God, you paid my debt. I owe it all to you, God. I owe it all to you, God. All worship belongs to you. All praise belongs to you. God, everything I have belongs to you. And God, I cannot help. I cannot be silent. God, there's something that's going to happen on the inside of me. There's a sound that's going to come forth that comes into agreement with what God's doing in your heart. And you let that sound out. It should change your sound. See, when we praise God, it does two things in our life. When we praise God, it sets us free, as we were talking about earlier, and it also kills our pride. It kills our pride. God, I praise you. God, any glory that comes my way, God, it's because of you. God, any triumph is because of you. God, anything I survive, because of you. God, anything that I get up and achieve today is because of you. God, you are good. God, you are great. My praise is on you. My focus is on you. It's not that look at me, see what I've done, see what I've accomplished. No, you can't point yourself and be in worship. When you're in worship, you're saying, God, you're bigger than anything else. God, you deserve all glory. God, you deserve all honor. God, you deserve all praise. It's reflecting everything on God, and it keeps the pride of my life submitted down. Why is that important? Because the Bible says that God resists the proud, and he exalts the humble. How many want to be exalted by the Lord? Learn to humble yourself. God, you are bigger than anything in my life. God, you are bigger than anything. Humble yourself before the Lord. Give him shouts of praise. I'll never forget the time in my life when God asked me to stand. And I was in a time in my life where, even though I'd been a Christian for a long time in my life, I was a pretty weak Christian. I was a pretty closet Christian. And I remember I was making some changes in my life as a young man. I was like, God, all right, I know that you want something deeper in my life. And so I remember in the middle of the week, there was this church around the corner that was having this guest speaker come in. And so on a weekday, it wasn't even a Sunday. Can you believe that? I went to church in the middle of the week. The visit to service was about 600 or 700 people in this auditorium packed out. And they had a great service and a great time. And at the very end, people were just sitting still. And just kind of this kind of lingering in the presence of the Lord. Everybody was sitting down, just kind of meditating on what was being said. The music was playing softly. And I remember the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, Gene, I want you to stand up and raise your hands. I'm like, you are crazy. I was sitting on the second row. Well, listen, today we lower the lights down so you can worship without worrying about anybody looking at you. We lower the lights down so that you can be distracted and worship, and you can just worship God freely. All the lights were on. I was sitting on the second row. Nobody else was standing up in the building. Everybody in that town knew me, okay? Everybody at that time in my life, I had lived there and grew up there, and just about everybody knew me in that building. And God asked me to stand up and to worship him in the middle of all those people and be the only one. And I remember the struggle. Like, all right, God. I stood up. And immediately I felt eyes go to me like, what is he doing? Why is he standing up? It took me about 30 seconds just to lift my hands up in the air. And as I lift my hands up in the air, I can tell you I never felt the Holy Spirit so strong in my life. It was just like me and the Holy Spirit were by ourselves in that middle of that room. And I heard the Holy Spirit speak to me and say, Gene, I'm going to do something different in your life. I'm going to give you power to make steps out. I'm going to give you power to make both steps of faith. I'm going to ask you. I remember saying, God, I'll never forget this service. I said, God, whatever you ask me to do, I will do it. God, I will never allow anything else to take my praise. God, I will never allow anything else. And I stood up and I was the only one. But I can tell you this, something happened. Somebody turned on the faucet on my eyes, because all I could tell you was I was crying tears. This big macho football player that was there, who thought he was too cool for school, all of a sudden began to humble himself before the Lord. And God started something in my life when I stood up and refused to be silent and worshiped him in front of everybody. It killed my pride. It killed my pride, and it started a chain reaction in my life. And now it's easy. Now it comes natural. Now I wouldn't dare be silent. Now I wouldn't dare close my voice. But God did something in me. I'm telling you, when we let a new sound, when we stand up and you don't just follow the crowd and you say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord, something begins to change. Let me give this scripture to you today before we close. I'm telling you, God does something in our lives. Look what James 5:13 says. Anyone among you in trouble, let him pray. If you're happy, sing songs of praise. Come on now. If you're happy and you know it. Come on now. If you're happy and you know it, say. All right. If you're happy and you know it, clap. All right. If you're happy, sing songs of praise. That's easy, right? Come on now. If you're happy, sing songs of praise. That's easy to do. We got that one, right? It's easy to cheer when you're winning. But look what the psalmist says in chapter 42, verses 3 through 5. Here's the challenge. He goes, my tears have been my food day and night. Have you ever been there when you just cry yourself to sleep every night? People say to me all day long, where is your God? He goes, these things I remember as I pour out my soul. How I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One. He goes, I remember the shouts of joy, the shouts of praise among the festive throne. Why my soul? He looks at himself. He looks at his heart. He looks inward. He says, why my soul are you downcast? Why are you so disturbed within me? He goes, put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him. I will yet praise him. You see, there's something that happens in our life when we let a yet praise come forth. There's something that happens in the spirit when you let a yet praise come forth. I lost my job, but yet will I praise him. My marriage is on the rocks, but yet will I praise him. My children are away from God, but yet will I praise him. My body's sick with disease, but yet will I praise him. I'm in financial trouble, but yet will I praise him. Come on, somebody needs to stand on your feet this morning. Give God a yet praise and say, God, I'm going to praise you no matter what. God, I'm going to give you a yet praise. Come on, I can't hear you this morning. Say, God, I'm going to give you a yet praise. Yet will I praise him. I'm telling you, when you change your sound to a yet praise, when you change your sound and say, I'm going to praise God no matter what, there's something that happens in your spirit that begins to cause a breakthrough to happen in your life. It's a place of maturity. It's a place of faith that God's wanting to take every believer. It's easy to praise shouts of joy when you're happy. But can you do it through the tears? Can you do it through the fear? Can you do it through the hard times? That's the mark of maturity. That's the mark of faith. And it's through that faith that God grows us. We're going to close with this song of praise. And I'm praying right now that God lets a new sound of praise come forth out of your life. God's letting the new sound of praise come forth out of your life. Someone needs to give him a yet praise right now and say, sounds of praise are coming. Come on. All right, can I get you to raise your hands one more time? I want to pray for you before you leave this morning. Father, I thank you that you're changing our sound. That I pray this week that our praise begins to change right now in Jesus' name. And God, we learn to praise you no matter what. God, I believe you're changing the sound of Destiny Church. You're changing the sound of believers across this room today. God, you're going to let a fresh sound of praise come forth. I'm prophesying right now. Fresh sounds of praise are coming. Fresh songs are coming. Lord, a fresh anointing is coming. God, right now, in Jesus' name, we pray and we say amen. You believe that? Put your hands together. You got to shout of praise. All right, listen. Turn to somebody, give them a high five. Say, my sound is changing. How about you?